Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Down the block, Andrew John. Inside for Elba. Elba will score. Elba will score. Newcastle has won.
Okay. Also, a reminder, you can watch all 8 games on KO. You can also grab a case of blood beer from your local Storm. Defeat the Warriors 30-26. Holy shit. You spoke about it yesterday, Guru. But Warriors might be the best team to go 0-2 to start the season that we've seen in a long time.
I think they look unreal.
And any other side, including the Panthers, in my opinion, right now, like as in, you know, the form right now, any other side I think they beat. Storm at home. Couple of tough calls that didn't go their way that I thought were quite tough calls by the video ref against the Warriors. I thought they were incredible. The second half was premiership level winning football by the Warriors. I thought they were outstanding. On the flip side of things is Storm, their ability to hang in that game, even though it looked like for all money it was over, to score those late last two tries. That inside ball off each back rower to Pappy is an absolute thing of beauty. And what an incredible finish by Coates. The Melbourne Storm do what the Melbourne Storm do. They are never out of the contest. You better put them away. Incredible game of rugby league.
Yeah, mate, the highlight for me, Ryan Papenhuyzen, his performance, just he was just popping up everywhere. When he scored 2 meaties, 2 line breaks, 7 tackle breaks. As I said, they're going to Newcastle this week without their halves. Pappy's going to be the main guy there. And is anyone going to be shocked if he puts on a 10 out of 10 next week?
Well, he shattered his kneecap then. Was it back end of last year? Was it shoulder or something? And people saying, oh, a bloke who's very small who relies on that explosive speed, how well is he going to come back to this? Can he be anything near his best? Essentially his second full, certainly NRL game, back from these injuries, and that's what he's doing.
Mate, take out his body. If he just mentally wasn't in the game anymore, yeah, I'd get it.
Mm. Yep. I mean, even like little things, like you could look at like Fa'alongo gets this long contract. There was whispers in the off-season that you were getting shopped around. Even came out and said, like, almost was a bit surprised by it. And yet he comes out and is the key to a comeback against the Warriors. After everything that he's been through, it's an incredible story. If you've got a young fellow or daughter that, you know, wants a player to look up to, he's that guy. Yeah. We'll talk about the Melbourne Storm, then we'll get into the Warriors. I'll tell you what, I know he had a bit of a quiet game, but Coates like this for a whole season is a very scary prospect.
What's that going to do for his confidence and his finishing ability? All them times where, you know, the winger gets one-on-one and they'll say, you know, they take a safe play and they'll go back in field. I just wonder if that's just going to flick something in his head. He's already a great finisher, but to go, no, I'll back myself to finish every single time.
And also just his strength in contact now. It is so good. You know, it's ironically, it almost seems like a distant memory where we were sitting here going, wow, Coates is almost the first, like, big star to go down to the Storm and not go to a whole new level. He was actually quite a bit quiet. And I know his injuries here or there, but for the first year or two, he was pretty quiet for this. He was an Origin player when they signed him.
Yep.
And so that almost feels like a distant memory now. You're almost going, I can't even remember a time where I was doubting whether Coates would go to another level. That try that he scored, I don't think, I do think people do appreciate the size and athleticism to do that with one, the ball in one hand whilst getting hit by another person to land it where it landed.
And another big person too.
Yeah, Wojtyla Zielinski. Yeah. Absolutely incredible. It's got to be the greatest finish on a buzzer we've ever seen.
Said it yesterday on the KO show, but I loved his post-match interview. And he was saying, look, we know wingers train somewhat for this sort of stuff, but the depth in which they do it, getting the pads out, launching themselves, having people take them out, he was saying this, no fluke in it. Yeah. You know, yes, he's a freak athlete, but he's trained to do this sort of shit.
Unbelievable. What an incredible thing. And also, like, the Storm, just to stay calm. Like, say that, I mean, the game is basically lost, and they just stay so calm, just get through their sets. Even, like, the play that they put on for Pappy, just to stay calm enough to nail the play in the high-stress moment. Like, that isn't a play that's just like, you know, oh, a ball out the back and we hit our fullback. Mm. That is a fine motor skills, perfect timing. Everything has to be perfect in the dying moments to get yourself back in the game, and they nailed it.
And I also love, same thing in that interview, what a humble dude. Mm. Like, I can't remember who was interviewing, but just like kept rapping him saying, could this be the best trade of days? Like, oh yeah, but you know, my team put me in that position and I got a lot of help from everyone else. Like, mate, this is all you.
Man, if that was me, after the Lockie try, I said it was all me. I said, who the fuck's that Lockie guy? I don't feel like I'm getting enough praise for it. That's what I thought.
Still don't.
What amazing. Best, like obviously you've got grand final finishes, blah, blah. But when it comes to like individual winger finishes, all that kind of stuff, it's the greatest I've ever seen.
Yeah, incredible. Even when it was happening live, even when he scored and he started celebrating, I just went,
surely not.
Couldn't have.
Yeah.
No way. Got to be. It cannot possibly happen. I was going to say on the live show yesterday, we ran out of time. Is it one of the great decisions in rugby league to take the corner post being out, get rid of that rule?
Mm.
Like, imagine how many moments we would have been robbed off if that rule still existed.
Yeah. It's truly, you know, whoever come up with that rule.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Was he even touching the post or was he over the top of it?
I think he was over the top of it, but just amazing. And like, it'll come up more as the season goes on, as Alex Johnson gets closer and closer to Ken Irvine's record. But just keep in mind that Ken Irvine had to play with that rule.
Yeah.
Seriously.
It's crazy.
It's insanity.
Yeah. Point. A bloke had to play with that rule. Our current coach of the Dolphins, we saw him up there yesterday with that rule in play around the post. So we've also had some great moments because of the rule as well.
Mog dog.
Yeah, let's not forget those.
Don't be so negative on the rule throw. Great Adam Mog.
It's a great Irvine point, isn't it?
It is.
He's probably 250 if that post rule's taken out.
Yeah, and he was working a full-time job too. Wild.
Hey, just on the Storm, like we were talking about teams winning ugly before, and now that's a good sign. I'm not saying they won ugly here because it was a great game and a great performance, but doing it without Munster, without Nass as well, still to come in. The Warriors playing great footy. Without those guys in there, that's very good signs for the Melbourne Storm, you've got to say, going forward.
Pappy, and like, they've still got Blore in the, you know, in the duffel bag. They've still got Howarth in the duffel bag. Like
the duffel bag is bursting at the seams.
It's bursting
right now.
Yeah, I was just about to say, obviously the Melbourne Storm, they're aligned with the North Sydney Bears this year in reserve grade. So Farlongo, Blore, these sort of guys, they've gone down there. They actually played the Warriors last year. And when you think about the depth that the Warriors have, they beat them 38 points to 18.
Oof.
So very impressive. Sua Falongo is 2 weeks in, 3 tries, 3 line breaks, 3 tries, 6 tackle breaks.
Oh, jeez, Louise. Could be anything that kid.
Hey, just on Hughes, bit stiff, going to miss a week.
Oh.
Pushing the ref. Who's the next? Because this will be another test for them. They're probably not going to have Munster and Hughes now when they
Wishart,
go.
I'd say.
Yeah, Wishart.
At 6 and you'll put Pezzett at 7.
Yep. Great test for Pezzett.
He's been great. He has been outstanding. They're 2 from 2. And
Desmond he's Tutu. Valet.
Oh, my God.
He's been great. He has been really, really good for him. And typical Storm fashion, you almost wake up one day and a guy where you're like, oh, I don't know how they're developing. And you wake up one day and you go, oh, they're an NRL player now.
I wonder, like, now if you assume that Wishy jumps into the halves, leaves a 14 spot open, I wonder if he plays Farlogo off the bench next week.
Yeah.
Imagine if you get KP, Pappy and Sua on the same field.
Far out. There might be an arousal limit that you're not allowed to do that.
I reckon it could happen.
My zipper's going to be doing overtime.
Oh, wow.
The old Zip Zip Zillman.
It wouldn't shock see Farlogo at 14 at some point.
The Hughes situation. Where's the common sense, bro?
Yeah.
Like, come on. What are we doing here? You really think that he's sitting there going, yeah, I'm trying to put, like, he was like, yeah, you know what, I'm going to push the ref. Like, tell me the next time, is there, first of all, that happens so rarely. Is there really going to be a next time where they're going to be like, oh, wait a sec, Hughes got done for a week for accidentally. If we want to suspend blokes, it's for the grabbing of the ref, like turning them around. That's what you suspend. Not for in the heat of the battle, a try might be scored, it might not be scored, and you're not even thinking, you're just thinking of saving the try. I think it's craziness, absolute craziness.
Surely Luai's one last year was way worse.
And also, on top of that, did anyone watching that game even remember that that happened?
No.
Like, it's a Streisand effect. Now we're all talking about it, where you could have just gone, look, wasn't a big deal, no one's talking about it, we just move on. Give him a fine if you have to. Fuck.
Yeah. It's not like he pushed him and kicked him and spat on him. Like, it's just...
He's trying to save a try.
Yeah. Yeah.
How long do you think he would have got Roo if he pushed him, kicked him and spat on him?
Two weeks.
Two weeks.
Well, you look at the other
line
game,
in mate. The sand moment.
Yeah. Was it Trindle in the Sharks game?
Yeah.
He kind of, like, used the ref as a bit of a... Oh, and then it was a no-try sort of scenario. Yeah. So just by touching him. This time, we've actually got the guy trying to make the tackle... And he gets penalised. Misses a week.
Just imagine if Trindle would have pushed him into the line at kick out. Might have been a fatality out there.
Far out.
Imagine Tony Dillard had us.
He used it as like a shield. Like he like grabbed his back of his shirt and was like, get out of the way. Okay. So with the Storm, forwards outstanding again. Mate, they're building something. They're building something very special there, I think. I think that after seeing two rounds of the way they've played without Munster, without Nass, I think it's pretty safe to say that they should be challenging for a premiership this year.
Yep, Joe Chan, he caught my eye this weekend. Obviously did well the week before, but didn't light it up, and he didn't explode this week, but I just think he's just got better and better. I heard in the press conference after the game last week that Bellamy mentioned that he had a bit of a disrupted pre-season and that he sort of expects Chan to just get better as we go, and I thought it was great signs this week.
Those soft hands into little Pappy.
Yeah,
ooh. Yeah. That stuff. It's just iconic Melbourne edge back row. Fleece Kaufusi back to Slater. Ooh.
So good to see. Outside of that, I thought Katoa was good again. Is he HIA?
Yeah,
HIA. There's
not much in it, I don't think.
Yeah. The exciting thing is Jerome Hughes is back to his best. He is looking super, super sharp. I think that if Munster is like. Hopefully this Munster situation, which is so bizarre, like I'm getting a bit concerned about it, to be honest, but if he can come back and have a red hot year, that spine of Grant, Hughes, Munster, Pappy, the recruitment kind of plan with the Storm has been always heavy around your spine. And you could make the argument that that hasn't really worked for them since, you know, the big three left or whatever. But when you watch it in full flight now, when they're all on the field, no one's injured. I know Munster hasn't been on the field, but I'm talking about Pappy, I'm Grant, Hughes. You do see the fruition of their planning kind of. You say, okay, now I understand why you go so heavy in the spine, because when those guys click, they are unstoppable, literally unstoppable.
Do you think Melbourne and it's a big question mark for me to watch over the next few weeks, do you think their forward pack can do this for the entire season?
I'm still sceptical. Because Nass has got to come back in. That's the big thing. But the signs are good, but correct. They were good at stages last year as well, but we went, how's this going to go business end when other packs are up for it and ready for that challenge? Just need to see more. But to do it without Nass, it's a good sign, isn't it?
Look, put it this way. If they can get third last year, I don't think they looked anywhere near as good as they looked these first two rounds. Yep. And so that's why I believe that, granted, you know, if injuries happen, all that stuff. But they've looked better in these first two forward rounds as a pack, in my opinion, than they looked all year last year as a pack, in my opinion. More well-rounded, more weapons, faster, explosive, all that kind of stuff.
It'll be good to see they take on the Knights this weekend. As we said, they then go into a bye. Off the back of that, round five, Thursday night, take on the Brisbane Broncos. So that's where we'll get a real test to their forward pack. Hopefully Payne Haas will be sweet by then, 3 weeks away should be.
Bloody hell, what about Broncos opening friggin' four games? Something.
Yeah, you guys have got it real tough.
So, like, looking at it, the stats, not everything. Like, the middle, the roll on, all that. Momentum, big eye test or thing. But, like, the Warriors ran for 260-odd metres more, had 130-odd post-contact metres more than them. So, and this is against a good Warriors pack. Mm. But you're right, Guru, that Brisbane one, Haas, Carrigan, hopefully both available. That's where we know where that pack's going to be at.
Okay, now on to the Warriors. The biggest takeaway for me with this Warriors game is the tactical smarts of Andrew Webster is genuinely like unbelievable. So basically they head into this game. Normally what do we see from the Warriors? They just usually go out the back, out the back, out the back. They start the game and essentially for most of the game, instead of just going out the back, they put two double leads on the Melbourne Storm, who notoriously have, you know, really good edge defence. They were scoring tries jogging over the line with 20 metres space. And that is Webster intentionally looking at the Storm defensive system and clearly identifying something where if we put double leads here, it totally wrecks their defensive patterns. Two tries where there was honestly minimum 15 metres of space where the winger just basically walked over. Like, that's a tactical decision by Andrew Webster. I think that, you know, we talk about him being able to buoy the boys and get everyone on the same page, but I don't think we're giving him enough respect for almost out-coaching the Melbourne Storm.
It's been the number one thing for me so far this year, including trials from seeing the Warriors. They look like a well-coached footy side. Oh. They are all on the same page. It is just all flowing perfectly for them. The results aren't coming right now, but they will eventually, and when they do... God, they're going to be flying soon, I think.
And like even in the first half, so Storm were basically almost kicking early. So it was such a good chess match to watch because you had the Storm going, okay, look at this big Warriors forward pack. Let's kick early, get a really good kick chase on, turn them around. That's what they don't like. So that's the first half, the Storm dominate. Second half, the Warriors come out, adjust to that game plan and dominate most of the second half. Like a really impressive chess battle. I will say it's going to be interesting to see, do other coaches look at that double lead shape and find some joy there with that Storm defensive system, because it gave them absolute nightmares. Like, to be able to be scoring in the corner with 20 metres and almost jogging over, like, that's super impressive. Now, Storm, they have a tendency to have up and in defence, but then what they do is the guys behind usually can slide in and tackle the winger if they get past. But with that double lead, it forces everyone to stay a bit tighter, in a bit longer, and gives the winger more time to get to the try line. I thought it was a masterstroke by Webster.
Yeah, they look very good, the New Zealand Warriors. Very well coached side.
And then, like, even off the back of last year, saying, all right, how is this Warriors side going to respond this season from the highest of highs last season? Not the highest of highs, but the hype in the back end of the year, the big runs they were going, how good they look, playing finals football, can they back it up and come out this year good? Yes, they're 0-2, but even in this one, they were down 18-6 at halftime. They wrangled back the lead, and it took one of the most freakish tries we're ever going to see to take that out of their hands to what would have been quite a famous comeback victory. Even, I think it might have been Pezzett going for a two-point field goal, charged down into the Storm hands, late in the game. It was so much to like about the Warriors' performance.
And another tactic that almost went against the grain. So conventional wisdom is don't kick to Coates. Mm. They said, no, we actually are going to kick to Coates because we don't want him taking that second hit up. On top of that, we feel if we kick to him long enough, he will make a mistake. And if there is one knock on Coates' game, sometimes those big pressure, eventually he'll make an error. What an incredible game plan from the Warriors. I think that they should absolutely walk away with their head held high.
I think the big thing to take away too, their game plan has just been on point, and the big talking point, Wade Egan and Chance not in this game. Yeah. How important have we said that these two are for the last year or so? Wade Egan in particular, like I tipped the Warriors to win when he got ruled out. I almost fell off my chair. I thought, oh shit, I don't know how they'll go now. But Lossick came in, did a really good job. Hopefully they get Wade Egan back next week. Chance, was he 2 or 3 weeks away?
Yeah, it should be about two. Murata need Corey to come back in as well from that foot injury.
Another thing that's going to be exciting to watch in the future. So remember how last year we were kind of talking about that Broncos game where the game was in the balance and they didn't have that star to swing momentum? Mm. They're down 18-6. What did RTS do?
Yeah.
Totally swung momentum for them and nearly basically won them the game in that momentum period. And what excites me for the Warriors now, heading into finals footy, which they most likely will, I'd be shocked if they don't make the eight. With RTS in your side that can do crazy things. He's at the Storm in Melbourne, his second game back in rugby league in centres. They're down 18-6. They need someone to do something incredible. Who does it? RTS does it.
If you had to come up with like a power rankings right now, Warriors 0-2, I reckon I would have them 4, 5, 6 right now, even though they're on
they two. Seriously might be in my top four, even though they're on two. I know it sounds bizarre.
Performance-wise, they have to be.
When you look at, like, I know, when you look at that first 20 minutes of the round one, and then you look at the way they performed against the Storm, maybe top four's being a bit hyperbolic, but at the very least, they're in my top eight right now, at the very least.
Definitely.
Yeah, so great performance from the Warriors. They still don't have Chance back, Niokore to come back. Like, there's just Egan to come back. I thought Lusick was quite good for him as well.
Yep.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Who are anyone else stand out for you, boys?
Ah, all good, mate.
No, I think we're good.
All good? Just trying to look here.
Toyo Harris does a million as per usual.
Fucking unbelievable. I thought it was really, sorry. I know the Storm pack has questions-ish, but I like the fact in a big game against a top three side, Adam Fanua Blake had a great game. Because that's kind of the only question you have to ask against the top, top tier sides. Can Adam Fanua Blake influence a game? And he did it against the Storm.
And he really took it to him.
Yep. Absolutely. 60 post contact. Wow. 14 runs, 155 metres. So he was averaging against the Melbourne Storm more than 10 metres a run.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.